Right, so today we're just going to look at a link between the beginning of Genesis, the beginning of John's Gospel, and the beginning of his letter, John's letter, 1 John. So starting the first chapter of each one. The interesting thing is that they all start the same. You think the Old Testament and the New Testament have the same foundation. And we're going to just look at that. Now John, of course, in the New Testament, he was the closest person to Jesus. There was John, James and Peter were the three closest, but of those, John was really the closest. He's the one that leaned back on Jesus' breast and asked, "Who is it going to betray you, Lord?" So they were very close. Now, when you look at these books, it's surprising how many similar things they have. Now, if you look at Genesis, the first words in Genesis chapter 1 are, "In the beginning." In the beginning. If you turn to John's Gospel at the start of that, what does it start with? In the beginning. So that's two exactly the same wording. Then we get to the letter of John, and that starts as what was from the beginning. So they're all talking about the beginning. It's strange because this word beginning, there was a start time, but God existed before time. We're conditioned to know only time. We can't think outside of time because time flows for us regardless. But God in some way existed before time, although we are locked into time. It's a fascinating subject when you start trying to get your mind around it. But God is God. And in the beginning, it says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning, God." In the beginning, God. He existed when time started. He already existed. If you turn to John's Gospel, in the beginning, now this gives you a little bit more explanation. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." I'll explain that in just a sec. Now if you turn to the letter of John, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we beheld with our hands, handled concerning the Word of Life. Now that, the word, is very important, and it's important we understand what it is. Because it occurs so much, particularly in the explanation that John gives in the Gospel. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Jesus is the Word. He is the intelligence. He is the divine expression. The word is actually logos, and we do adopt that in our language in different ways. But logos is him. Now, if you look in John's Gospel, and it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The next word that follows that, the start of verse 2, is not "it," as you'd expect if you were using Word, it's "he." He is Jesus. That's who it is. And he was with God at the beginning. It says, in the beginning was the Word. Jesus existed then. He was partner with God in the three in one. He was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God, and he was God. This is something else that we struggle to understand. But it's saying that he was with God and he was God. And he was in the beginning with God. He was there when time started. And saying that that word, that first word in that second verse of John's Gospel tells you that it was he, not it. He is the intelligence. He is the one that God the Father gave to create us and all that is. So if you go back to Genesis chapter 1 again. In the beginning was God. It says, and God created. He started creating. Not like we will create, like when we're arguing and falling out, but God created. He made things. But he made it by the spoken word, by the word of his mouth. All things came into being because God created. Now in Genesis chapter 1, it goes on to say he created light. He created the expanse. That's the firmament. He created the dry ground, the dry land. And he created living creatures. And he created sea creatures. And he created creatures to live on earth. Notice the separate. They tell us that we emerged from the sea at some point and then grew legs. But God created things in the water and on earth. And in verse 2, it said it was complete. I'm just moving on to chapter 2 there. Verse 1 of chapter 2 in Genesis, it says, thus the heavens and the earth were completed, and all their hosts. Now all their hosts will be all that we see in space on a dark night. That will be the host. He says he completed everything. If you turn to John's Gospel and look at verse 3, he says, all things, because we were talking about he was in the beginning, Jesus was in the beginning with God, all things came into being by him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Everything has come into being through Jesus. He created all things. We know he was in the beginning with God. So he was the Father's directive to do all that we see, all that we know, all that we're aware of. And it says it says in John, is it verse 3, all things came into being by him. Nothing was made apart from that. Everything that we see, touch, feel, know, came into being through him. There was no other creation other than that way. So in verse 4, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now that life is the word Zoe, Z-O-E. That is actual life. Now, we know that scientists are talking about, oh, we can put this, that and the other together and make, apparently, a being. This is the futuristic talk that they say. But you see, life does not come through the natural process of chemicals coming together. Life comes because he spoke life. It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. That would mean that the light was coming down to mankind. Back in Genesis, chapter 1, verse 26, he talks about, let us make man in our image. He talks plural. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit speaking there. Let us make man in our image. We are created in the likeness of God. Now, it's not talking about purely arms and legs and things like that. It's talking about who we are, the nature of our being. It says that we're created in the image of God. Otherwise, we would not have the potential to recognize God. If there wasn't something in us of God, we wouldn't recognize who he is. But we can recognize him. We can recognize him through faith. We recognize him because we know there's a place in us that can only be filled by him. So we're aware that God is the creator and he has made us in his image. He also made us with a free choice, because God has a free choice. He made us with that free choice. And this is where things go astray, because mankind uses his free choice in different ways. The fact that he has that choice, same as Adam in the garden had the choice. So it's just the same thing. When he behaved in a certain way, it was his choice. When Eve behaved a certain way, it was her choice. But God would never remove that choice from his creation, because he gave them that choice so that they could choose to know him, choose to love him. When God created man, if you look in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says that he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He formed man from the dust of the ground. Well, if you look at the elements that we're made up of, we've got iron and all sorts inside of, with all sorts of chemical compounds, just as the earth is made. But it says that he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Science can't do that. Science will never do that, because only God can do that. Only God can breathe the life into a man and he become a living being. We see these futuristic things on the television and the cinema, and the graphics are so real, seemingly real, that we can easily believe things to be true, because visually, technically, they're astounding. If you go back to a few generations and think the cartoons that Walt Disney and others put together, which we thought were fascinating at the time, now the simple cartoons like Thomas the Tank and things like that, now they're graphically so accurate and advanced that when they did the cartoons that Walt Disney did, they would have individual pictures. Probably, I don't know, 10, 20 in it to make a second of picture. Now it's all computerized graphics. So what would take man years to do goes through the computer and is done quickly. So the graphics become astounding. But they're not real. We were watching the Star Trek things the other night, and they're showing space, we're showing these space, you know, the spaceships and that floating about in space, and all sorts of rocks floating in space, and it looks real, but it's not. The only reality is that God formed man and breathed into him the breath of life. If we go back to onto John now, we've already seen that in verse 3 it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. If you move on to verse 14 of John's Gospel, chapter 1, and it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus has come into his creation. The creation that he spoke into existence, he has come into, and he has come to dwell among us. The only thing is that we did not recognize him. As the created beings, we did not recognize it. He came to identify with us, to pay the price that we could not pay. But he came from before time, having created all things, to become the created being with all its physical restrictions and limitations. He became a living creation to fulfill the only answer that God could give to mankind to bring about their forgiveness, to bring about their cleansing and deliverance. But you see how the books are repeating the same thing. Although you're looking back in Genesis, you see the beginning, you see it again in John's Gospel. You see it again in the letter of John, that the life that was spoken into being was spoken in before time began, and time was created by God for man to live and for us to recognize and come to him. It has all come from the original direction that God put humanity into. And because of our choices, and he did that back in Noah's day, there were so many bad choices made by mankind that he cleansed the world. And he brought through, was it six or eight righteous people into a new beginning. But he never took away the free gift, the free choice that mankind has. And mankind is still today making the wrong choices. I was thinking earlier, we were mentioning about a baby, knowing how to be bad and not knowing how to be good. The reality is that the baby is completely selfish. That's why it cries, and it cries loud, because it wants, it needs. And it's all about self, because it knows nothing else. It's only as it grows and it gets an identity in humanity that it begins to recognize there's more than self. Now, I know that at 10 years old, we've got grandkids that still are very much self-orientated, and often we'll go into adulthood with that same selfish persona and attitude, that self is first and everything else is secondary. And God's identity, when he made us in his image, is not that self comes first, is that everybody else comes first and self comes last. That's why he made just two commandments. Love your Lord your God with all your heart. Love your neighbour as yourself. Because that groundbreaking change is that what takes us from a selfish human being to a child of God. Because he wants us, out of our voluntary choice, to love him. He doesn't want robots. He's never wanted robots. Otherwise, he would have created robots. But he created us with that ultimate choice. So when it talks about, if you're going to 1 John, in verse 5 of John, 1 John chapter 1, it says, "And this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all." So if we're made in his image, our nature should be all light and no darkness. Now we know in reality that we have dark areas in our life, because we're not perfect. We haven't shaken off the selfish nature that we tend to have in abundance when we're born. But it says in verse 6, if we say we have fellowship in him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Because if our direction is towards darkness, we cannot find our way to God. We cannot find that. We've got to look to the light, because God is light. And his image is shown in the light, not in the darkness. When we were looking at "in the beginning God," the word God is Elohim. And it's a word we recognise for God, but because we use G-O-D for God, we use that to cover everything. We know God as a number of different names to explain some of the attributes of his nature. But the one that God is light is probably the easiest for us to understand. When God breathed into us, he breathed his breath into us. His nature has come into us. What we do with that is our choice. He knows what he wants from us, but it's up to us to what we choose to do. We've seen major things happening in our lifetime that haven't been nice. I mean, I was born just after the Second World War, and I didn't know the war. I probably was caught up in the shortages that existed after that, but because I was just a little child, I wouldn't have recognised it. But after the war, and when you got into the 1950s, I seemed to sense that there was a stability in life. There seemed to be an openness and a discipline that, I don't know, perhaps it had come about from the war years in the generation that were parenting at that time. But as time's gone on, we've drifted further and further away from that warmth and that openness. Now, when you see in humanity, in many areas, there's a lack of trust. There's a literal evil that exists that's trying to raise its head. But God said he will tread on that. He will tread on that, because his heaven is coming to earth. His heaven is going to be complete. And our desire is to be within that completeness that God set in place. So as we've seen, Genesis chapter 1 and John chapter 1, how they dovetail together with the same foundation, the same thoughts, the same intent. And when he writes in that letter, 1 John, he's repeating how creation has come about and what the aim of creation is. The creation, the aim of the whole of creation is that we might know God the Father. We might literally know him and be part of him. So as you study that word, as we said, these are just three parallels that seem to fit together, and it's just bringing out who God is. God the Father, the Word that created all things, the Father, the Son, the Word that created all things, and all things are coming together, and we're part of that coming together. And God's going to come back for his church, for his bride. And he's looking for that. He's going to look for the light of himself in that bride. He is light, and he's looking for that light. He will see lights shining throughout the world, because there's beacons of people who know him, regardless of the situation and circumstances around them. They know him, so that even in the worst situations, they see a stability in him. I struggle with this, to remain calm and stable when everything around is seemingly going haywire. But that's, again, is looking with the natural eyes. It's looking from the selfish again. When we see God and how he's opening things up, and how he will open things up, we'll see the light beginning to shine in areas we didn't know it could shine. And we've seen it before. You know, people in a dark situation, nowhere left to go, and they've turned to God, and God's shone into them. He's shone into them a bright light. Even when you think about Paul on the Emmaus Road, he was really doing in the believers. He was killing them, he was putting them in prison, he was doing all sorts. And God shone a light on him, it blinded him. It was so bright. But it changed him. Amen. It brought him out something astounding in his life, and from that we have a lot of the letters in the New Testament that are Paul's communications. So I just wanted us to share something of the link of the books of the Bible, and you might not have noticed that between the Old and the New Testament, and how it confirms everything together. That's what the Word of God does. It confirms who God is. Amen.